From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last Wednesday night at the Rochester Public Market. The first food truck rodeo of the season attracted hundreds of people, and the rodeo will return 8 more times in 2016. The food trucks are so popular that the market has increased the number from 7 to 9 there, and around Rochester you might notice a few more food trucks this year. At the rodeo, the new food truck called Wingnuts debuted, offering buttermilk fried chicken in bite sizes. Rochester City Council has been working with food trucks to make sure there is space for parking. But there are still some hurdles before Rochester starts competing or comparing ourselves with cities like Washington, maybe Portland, known as food truck meccas. This hour, it's the first in our Summer of Food series of conversations on Connections. It's not the summer yet, of course. But the food trucks have a particularly visible presence in the warm months, and our goal is to have a series of discussions on the show about food, agriculture, and trends all throughout the summer. So it's the summer of food. And today we examine the food truck scene and where it goes from here. Let me welcome my guests for the hour. Lizzie Clapp is here from Les Petites Poutines and the co-chair of the Rochester Food Truck Alliance. Lizzie, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Also here is Marty O'Sullivan from Marty's Meats. Marty, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And Joe Cario from Rock City Sandwich. Hi, Joe.
Excited to be here.
And on the line with us is Carol Lee Conklin, member of Rochester City Council. Thank you for taking the time, Carol Lee. How are you?
I am well, Evan, and you?
Very good. Well, a brief interruption, but not a rude one. A friendly one and a well-intended one for my colleague Sasha Ann Simons. This is our spring membership campaign, and just for a minute, Sasha is going to remind you how if you support Connections, you can support WXXI and make sure we stay around. I'd like to stay here.
Exactly. You know what? You just summed it up so nicely. I don't even think they need me here.
Yeah, get out of here.
Well, we do hope you are having a great day so far. It is an exciting one here at WXXI. There's a buzz of activity with volunteers here. Phones are ringing. It's a sound that means the programs that you rely on every day will be that much more secure in the future. And it's a sound of generosity. And we hope it inspires you to stop what you're doing, get out your phone, and go online and support WXXI during this fundraising campaign at wxxi.org/give. You know the number, 454-6300. You know the website, like I said, wxxi.org/give. You know how public radio happens. Please act on that knowledge now. Don't just let the number and the website rattle around in your head this week, because next week it won't be here. The opportunity won't be here to make that investment. So please, it just takes a moment to give us a call.
454-6300, and I want to also mention to our listeners all throughout the Finger Lakes, we're so proud to have our partnership with Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS, 89.5 FM in the Finger Lakes, and if you're listening on WEOS, weos.org to give as well. They need your support. We need your support. We don't function without you. WEOS doesn't function without you, and this is your chance to become part of a community. So thank you, Sasha.
My pleasure.
Nice to see you. I'll see you a little bit later this hour. Talking food trucks with
Evan,
our,
before
with
we
our
talk
guests. Yes, Carol.
Can I just say, as a longtime supporter of XXA since its beginning years, I strongly support XXI and urge people to do the same.
Oh, flattery gets you nowhere.
Oh,
besides
I know,
everywhere.
I try.
Besides everywhere, Carol. My goodness. I mean, I can't have elected officials saying nice things about WXXI. I'll lose my bulldog mentality. What I want to do to help frame this discussion, it was 2 years ago, almost to the day on this program, that we talked food trucks for the first time. And at the time, Lizzie was here. We were talking about various questions related to regulations. You know, was the city sort of comfortable and open to food trucks as a business? Was it something that was working out pretty well? I want to listen to what was said 2 years ago, and then we're going to compare to what has changed and where we're going next. So this is 2 years ago, almost to the day, on this program.
I did want to talk a little bit about the 60, the CZC, our Certificate of Zoning Compliance, that's in the works right now. Councilwoman Spall just spoke to that a little bit, saying that that will be going through. That's actually something that we're just now learning may not happen. So a CZC right now, Certificate of Zoning Compliance, can be applied to the zoning department by a property owner to allow a food truck to be on site only 2 times a year, and it is a $50 fee. What the zoning board is now looking at is changing that to 60 times, but that may not, in fact, go through.
What we find is that there's so many steps in process, and there's so many people that's hands need to be involved at City Hall specifically. when council wrote a recommendation, let's extend this to 60 times per year. So, for example, you own a private property. You'd like me to come for lunch every Wednesday. Now that's possible with a few extras. When it went before the City Planning Commission, they had doubts about that, which are the kind of doubts we're used to hearing. How close are you to residential? How will this upset things? So, again, there's this balance between now it's going to an additional committee meeting today. Where will it land? That's the tricky part for the trucks all the time is trying to figure out where we're going to land.
Okay. So, Lizzie, compared to 2 years ago to now, what did you just hear and how has it, you know, how has that changed?
Yeah. So that CZC, it did go through. So we're very pleased with that. That's working out well for private parties and things of that nature. In the zoning department, there still is no form. There's no actual formal way to make that application. You just kind of have to fumble through it. And there are some people in the zoning department that do know how that works. So that's helpful. And the Food Truck Alliance definitely likes to help anyone that has any interest in doing that kind of thing and walking them through the process of drawing a site map. Drawing where you're going to be, and then contacting the property owner and things of that nature. So
I know you've spent time in Washington where there is a vibrant food truck scene. What do you compare, you know, how do you compare Rochester, Western New York to Washington to the other cities that have vibrant scenes? And then what would you like Councilwoman Conklin and others to consider changing even still?
Great question. We recently were in Washington, D.C., and we were speaking to a lot of different food truck owners and their association. And just walking around D.C., you go through these squares or these circles, and you have just a mass amount of food trucks just surrounding these circles. There's still Starbucks. There's still lots of restaurants in that area. It's pulling people. It creates this epicenter of food and commerce and street traffic to these circles. I think Washington Square Park would be a great opportunity for something like that to happen right here in Rochester. And that's just a matter of getting the right people in the city involved and making sure, you know, we got to be safe. We got to think about traffic and being compliant in those means. But working on that, I think, would be huge. That's something we could pull and transfer to Rochester really easily.
All right, Councilwoman Conklin, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I visited D.C. often, and I agree that food trucks there are an integral part of the street scene, the streetscape. I think it's apples and oranges to compare D.C. with Rochester. We're not a major tourist hub the way D.C. is, and unfortunately, our city was not laid out with the grid and the circles and the plans that D.C. was. It lends itself to that kind of circular activity. Washington Square Park is not a circle, and it's got one-way Clinton Avenue that's going to be one-way for at least the next couple of years. And it's got a very narrow street at St. Mary's, and it's got, you know, it's just, it doesn't lend itself to the kind of circular traffic that a DuPont Square, for instance, or Lafayette would lend itself to. I think the food truck legislation is an ongoing work in progress. We have a team of City Hall folks that meet regularly and are open to suggestions to bring to council. And I think council has taken very seriously amending their first legislation on trucks, food trucks. It really does add a vibrancy to our seascape, our streetscape.
Okay, Lizzie?
Great. You know, I do want to point out there are some food truck locations actually on Washington Square Park right now that are being utilized, and they are lunch locations, and we have worked hand-in-hand with a couple farmers markets there. So I do strongly believe that we can work on that. Obviously, I'd love to get Councilwoman Conklin's ear on it and see who the right person to address. I think that's also something that we see in these major cities. There's someone kind of assigned to vending. Who's the point person? Who can we contact? Who can we address with these issues directly instead of over the course of multiple different departments? I think that's kind of something we heard about that CZC. Who do we talk to? Where does it land? What's the next step?
Well, I would say that, and as far as Washington Square, the food vendor I seem to see do the most business is the hot dog vendor at the corner of Court Street and St. Mary's Church. He does, I mean, you know, some days he's got 30, 40 people waiting in line. But as far as addressing, I mean, that's been a long established policy that you can send anything through the city clerk's office, who will put it on the agenda of the food truck committee that has the city clerk's office, zoning, special events, basically all the departments that would be involved. So I think that's a process that's been in place for quite some time now.
We only have a few more minutes with Councilwoman Conklin, who is sharing some of her busy schedule with us today, and we're grateful for that. So, Councilwoman, let me ask you, you know, early on when it came to food truck legislation and some of the desire to, for lack of a better term, relax some of the restrictions, best I could tell as an outsider, you were a little skeptical at times. Have you changed your mind?
And you're absolutely right. My skepticism, or more my concern, was based on the input I was getting from fire and police about health and safety issues. There were some food trucks that did not have the necessary safety features that the fire department insisted upon. I think that has all been addressed. If you'll recall, at the time there was a huge food truck explosion in Pennsylvania that resulted in millions of dollars of insurance claims. We have incorporated increasing the liability insurance for food trucks and the fact that they had to be licensed by the city of Rochester. So I had a number of objections. Happy to say that one by one they have all been addressed, and addressed in a very satisfactory manner, I believe, for not only the food truck industry, but for health and safety for citizens.
All right, so before we let Carol Lee go then, Lizzie, I just want to follow up with you. You mentioned locations where you think there could be even more of a vibrant food truck scene in Rochester. Are there other restrictions or any rules or laws that you would like to see change?
Well, you know, I'm very interested in Main Street. Obviously, we've seen that the bus lanes change recently. I think that, you know, we keep talking about bringing people downtown, having vibrant streets. Let's bring them to Main Street. Let's rope that back in. When can we get on that conversation? When does that start? I think that Main Street could be a huge boost to the restaurants even on Main Street. You know, let's bring people back down out of their box lunches and back onto the street to grab a bite. So I think that could be really enticing both for food trucks and the cityscape.
And I know, Carol Lee, you got to go in about a minute. But some thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, I think areas of conversation should also always be open-ended. And, you know, I'm glad to meet with folks at any time, but obviously I'm one vote. But I think, as I said earlier, it's very important to put recommendations or requests to the food truck committee in City Hall, the team. They're the ones that make recommendations to council, and they get input from many sources. With summer coming, you know, and obviously I've heard from a number of folks what a huge success the truck rodeo at the public market was. But I think we also have to be mindful of certain restrictions on locations for either residential concerns or traffic concerns.
Carol Lee, thanks for taking the time. I know it's an ongoing discussion in this city about the growth of the food truck industry, and thank you so much for your input.
You're welcome, Evan. And you know, it's one more industry that we hope to see succeed and be very successful. So thanks for having me on, and have a good day, all.
You too. That's Carol Lee Conklin, a member of Rochester City Council. I want to grab someone who's been waiting on the phone. Ronnie from Les Petit Poutine wanted to jump in. You know,
hey.
Lizzie's
hey,
here. Hey, Ronnie. Ronnie wanted to jump in and just respond to some of what she heard as well. So go ahead, Ronnie. Oh, I've lost Ronnie. You know what? Ronnie, call back. We were dumping one call, and we dumped them both because that's the host. It's like I've never done this before. We're asking people to donate to a host who can't even function properly.
In the meantime, I just wanted to respond to one thing that
yes,
Councilwoman Conklin brought up.
Yeah.
You know, she had brought up the Philadelphia food truck.
The explosion.
Yeah, and that is an unfortunate issue. I will say, I don't know if anyone keeps statistics on the amount of restaurants that have had unfortunate explosions, things like that. But in the history of food trucks, if this is the one that we can all point to and kind of create as a boogeyman or a fear factor, It was unfortunate. The city has formed some great regulations. As they've been formed, we've all complied to them properly. So let's not create a fear factor out of one issue.
Okay. Ronnie is back. Hi, Ronnie. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry about that. I just wanted to say that it bums me out to hear the councilwoman talk about D.C. and kind of say that, you know, Rochester isn't conducive to that, so we have to move past thinking about it in those terms. You know, we talk a lot, the mayor talks a lot, City Hall talks a lot about the future of Rochester, and I think that that kind of an attitude, talking about, well, it just won't work, so let's be happy with what we have, is what I'm hearing as an owner, and it's really disappointing. And I think, too, that it's important, I wish I had caught the councilwoman, because she is the only council person who opposed food trucks all the way to the end. I mean, even when 8 council members seemed to be receptive to it, we were still getting pushback from Carolee Conklin. So I'm glad to hear her say that she thinks it's working. But I also know that from our experience with the city, it seems like the city only measures success in terms of the least amount of complaints. So that's what we hear as food truck owners is, we haven't had any complaints, so I think things are going good. And that just doesn't seem like a full picture to me.
Well, and Ronnie, Dennis on Twitter says, we didn't protect Tim Hortons from Dunkin' Donuts downtown. Why protect one food service over another? Let the market dictate. What do you think of that, Ronnie?
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? Liz can attest to you. This is a little bit of a stressful time for our business. Personally, we're expanding, and it is hard. And we think about every day what it means to be a small business and what competition is. But that's the way that it is, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We are proud of our product, and we know that the harder we work, the more we're going to see. The city shouldn't have any role in protecting it. And in fact, I'd rather have, you know, 5 French fry stands that are all locally owned right next to each other than 5 chain McDonald's restaurants right next to each other, something of that sort.
And we can look to Portland. I think the last time we were on the show, we had a caller call in from Portland saying, you know, the city of Portland doesn't allow any chains within city board chain restaurants. So instead, you have these privately owned small sector chains like Son of a Biscuit and all these other people that have put together some really Son of a Biscuit.
Thank you. Lizzie looked at me saying, calm down there, Son of a Biscuit. Yes, go ahead.
And some really great chains that are kind of locally owned. Like, who doesn't want to spend their money where they live?
Well, so let me grab another comment from Twitter. Brian Van Etten, who behind
Brian.
The Playhouse,
yep.
And Swill Burger, and Brian's got his own new business, but he mentions on Twitter, he says, brick-and-mortar restaurant perspective, don't mind competition from trucks. Lizzie has it 100%, only helps business attract guests. So, you know, there's a perspective from someone saying, you know, I don't need someone to shield me. And Brian, I think, would probably agree that if you put a great product out there and a great scene out there, that you're going to find success and you're going to find customers anyway. So if you're just joining us, we're talking food trucks. The food truck scene in Rochester, we had a chance to hear from member of Rochester City Council, Carolee Conklin, on this program talking about the city's perspective on this. It's a scene that is growing. Lizzie Clapp, there are how many in the Rochester Food Truck Alliance now? 24?
24.
24.
And so growing.
24 and growing. And we're going to be talking to Marty and Joe about what they're doing, because there are some names and faces of food trucks that you might recognize, and there are some new ones as well. We're also talking about not just Rochester. You know, our colleagues down at WEOS in Geneva and the Finger Lakes sent a note that Lyons has their own food truck rodeo. Town of Lyons does now. And I also want to grab a phone call. Ronnie, can you hang in there for a little while?
You know, I've actually got to drive to Buffalo with our truck for an event.
That's why we split
so
up today.
I hope you don't
mind perfect.
Me excusing myself. I'm going to go back to listening on the radio.
There you go. That's a perfect example of the food truck life right there. Thank you, Ronnie.
It's the grind. Thanks, guys. Bye.
But Kim has wanted to weigh in as well in Greece, because we talk about the Rochester Food Truck Rodeo. We can talk about Lyons. And Kim, you said Greece Olympia has done this as well?
Yes, this will be our third go at it this Friday, May 6th, from 4 to 8 o'clock.
You beat me to it, Kim.
I'm sorry?
I said you beat me to it. I've got it right in front of me. I was going to plug it. Do it. You're doing better than I could.
So we got our third go at it this Friday. We have 17 trucks. Our first run at it was last spring. We had great success with it. We didn't know how it was going to go, but what we found happened was a wonderful experience because it brought the community together. And for those who don't know, we have 4 high schools and 21 buildings in Greece in the school district. And it was a great social event for people just to stop and hang out, listen to music, get some food that they wanted. And I had games going on at the same time. So people would finish up on the field. They would come down. The other part that we didn't expect originally was that the fire department helped out. The police department helped out. It was just a great community involvement that occurred out of a simple little thing. Hey, let's check this out. Let's see how it goes.
Well, thanks very much for the phone call, Kim. And so any details you need the audience to know one more time?
This Friday, May 6th, from 4 to 8, at Greece Olympia behind the high school, we will have 17 trucks to choose from.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim, calling in from Greece. And again, beat Lizzie to it. So there's a lot going on. And that's why I'm glad she did that. And I'm glad to hear from our colleagues at WEOS pointing out the Finger Lakes is in seeing a little bit more activity in the food truck scene. Saw a note from the east side of Seneca Lake down there. There's a there are trucks sort of rolling out in many different places. And Marty and Joe are also part of the scene. Again, part of the 24 of the Rochester Food Truck Alliance. Joe Cario with Rock City Sandwich. Am I saying it right, Joe?
That's right.
Okay. Rock City Sandwich and
Wingnuts.
And Wingnuts.
Wingnuts is our newest addition.
How long have you been doing Sandwich?
Sandwich, we started with a little trailer February of 2012.
Okay. And, how's it going?
Well, we sold the trailer. So we built a truck after 1 year, and we built a second truck after year 3, and now we got the 2 rolling. So things are getting busy.
You know, we've already had some questions in various forms from audience members, as we did 2 years ago, and as I've already gotten a few emails from people saying, can you make a living? I mean, it's not like having a full work and service restaurant. Can you make a living on a food truck?
It's funny. I get that question all the time. At first, no. I'll be flat out honest. If you don't have anything behind you, it's a little bit difficult because you're starting with a product that usually people haven't seen before. My specialty is a Pittsburgh style. So it has a meat or veggie, cheese, fries, and sweet coleslaw on Texas toast. So when people see it at first, they're like, that was different. It took a little bit of time to catch on, and now we have to actually turn down business. That's why we built a second truck, and we'll see what the future brings.
All right, and Wingnuts is what?
Wingnuts is it's a buttermilk fried chicken specialty. So we make them right from fresh chicken breast. I have a couple guys that trim them down to size, and we put them in some buttermilk chicken fry, and then put them in our fryers. They're bite-sized, so you can get them with sauce, or you can get them on a po' boy or a wrap, whichever you like.
Joe, where did these various recipes and ideas come from? In your own culinary background, what pushed you in this direction?
My background is in finance.
Of course, that's what I figured.
So I went completely out. I was with HSBC for a while, and I lived in Pittsburgh before that, went to Penn State, and on the weekends I used to bartend across from Primanti Brothers, which is where the original came from. When I moved back to Rochester, you know, I was with the banking industry for a while, and ended up stopping that and went into food. I just wanted to do something that I would enjoy more. And, you know, I like putting smiles on people's faces, and it's easier to do it with food than with finance.
Okay, so you're going to stay with it then?
I think we have a couple plans for the future, but we're just taking it day by day and see how things go.
And what did you make of what you heard from the member of council who was on this program?
You know, being around from somewhat of the beginning, we really didn't have too many regulations, too many rules, which was not very good for us because every time we went out, we'd either get shut down or we couldn't do this or couldn't do that.
You get shut down why? What's the reason?
Well, there wasn't any rules. So if for instance, we go to a late night spot and, you know, the police weren't happy that you were there, you know, they'd tell you to turn around and go home. This not just in the city, this is in other towns too. We've worked in almost every town throughout Rochester.
And can I don't want to put words in your mouth. I assume though, you know, the message is not that, you know, the police are a pain. It's that when you don't have a standard, when you don't have a community sort of expectation, a set of rules and regulations, you may have an officer say no big deal, and you may have an officer feel like, this I haven't dealt with a food truck here before.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll actually find that now a little bit currently. The rules have been in place, and I don't think anyone's happier than that than the members of the Rock FTA are. because we know what we can and cannot do. We're not looking to cause any trouble. We're just looking to run a business and put food on the table. So no, it has nothing to do with police or anything like that. Some of the things that need to be addressed, unfortunately, I didn't get to ask Carol Lee about this, but the website for the city of Rochester, the regulations are a little old, we'll say. I think they're a couple years old now. So every so often people go on and check to see, okay, are these people legal? And they look at the website and they reference that, and it's incorrect, actually. So even the police officers aren't 100% up to date on that either.
And when it comes to any specific other changes, what would you want to see?
You know, they've done a lot in the past few years. So, you know, I like what's happened. I'd like to see a little bit more of expansion of spots. One of the things that I've noticed this year is that with all the new trucks, City Hall has no problem taking in money for the permits, but there are a limited number of spots. Obviously, the more trucks, same spots, higher demand for those spots, and now there's a little bit of infighting. You know, and it's first come, first serve. City doesn't really want to put a schedule together. It'd be very difficult to do so. We've tried to do it before. Certain people want to work as a group. Others want to do their own thing. So I'd love to see expansion of a little more spots. For instance, right outside State Street, one of my trucks is sitting there. It's a two-truck spot. Once MCC opens up, or I believe, is it MCC that's opening up right here? Once they open up, it could be a three-truck spot. Elm Street is very, very popular. DNC just moved in. That's a three truck. Maybe it could be a four truck. There's another one for late night that we like to utilize, corner East and Alexander. It's a solo truck spot. It's a great spot for a couple more trucks to park in for late night. So just small tweaks. One of the things that I personally are going to work on is Harbortown. We aren't allowed by the lake whatsoever. That is completely shut off.
Why is that?
We don't know. It's just one of those restrictions that says, nope, not allowed. There's hot dog carts that can get down there. There's a fair amount of restaurants down there. But right where the pier is and a few other spots by the parking lots, I thought would be a nice place.
Does it drive you nuts to see areas where a hot dog cart can go but a food truck can't?
You have no idea. And one of the things that Carol Lee did bring up, yes, there is a certain vendor at the corner of Washington Square Park that does have 40 people in line. But that's because there's no one else really allowed to go around that area. So I don't know if they're being protected against or what people were saying before, but there's no reason why we can't have some more showing in that area.
Steven on Twitter says, I live in the South Wedge, and I love the brick-and-mortar restaurants nearby. Also love that Petit Poutine is there every Friday. I'm a regular. Mary Beth on Twitter says, Portland, Maine, or Oregon? Portland, Oregon in this case. And Lizzie sent over a list of best food truck cities. If we can get to it in the second half, we'll also just talk about, you know, where the scenes are kind of hot in other places. It's always interesting to see how Rochester fits in. Matt says, I was at the Miami Open tennis tournament last month in Florida, and in addition to standard fare, there were four food trucks. I was surprised. So you're certainly seeing more of it. Let's get a short break. We'll come back, talk to Marty O'Sullivan from Marty's Meats as well, and answer more of your questions. If you've got questions or comments about the food truck scene in Western New York, Rochester, Finger Lakes, you can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK. Toll-free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. A listener wanted to know, are we only going to see mobile food trucks, or are we going to see them anchored in more permanent places like we seem to in other cities? Interesting question. We'll have our panel touch on that as well. It's all coming up right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, an international event to help out veterans coming to Rochester. We'll tell the story of some of the veterans who will participate and tell you how local veterans can get involved. Then in our second hour, we talk to the head of the Christian Educators Association. Their goal is to train public school teachers on how to stay within the law, but spread the message of Christianity in our schools. Talk with you Wednesday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. It's the Summer of Food, our first conversation in our Summer of Food series, starting the Summer of Food early with food trucks. And why not? The Food Truck Rodeo is back at the Rochester Public Market, and there are a number of food truck events all throughout our region, in the Finger Lakes, in the town of Lyons. You heard Greece Olympia High School on Friday. And later this hour, you'll hear a little bit more about events that are coming up. But we're also talking about the food truck scene and how it has grown with the support of the city. and how food truck operators are doing business, trying to compete, trying to stay competitive, and trying to work within city rules on that. Lizzie Clapp is here from Petit Poutine. She's the co-chair of the Rochester Food Truck Alliance. Marty O'Sullivan from Marty's Meats. Joe Cario from Rock City Sandwich and the brand new Wing Nuts. And just a brief interlude. Hello to Sasha Ann Simons, who does not own a food truck that I know of.
I don't own a food truck, and let me just say I'm from Toronto, and it wasn't until I moved to Rochester last year that I was like, oh my God, this is like an actual scene. Like, this is a thing.
You don't have food trucks in Toronto.
We have, but not as many. I was hearing you talk about the number in the Alliance earlier, and I was blown away. I mean, we have some of those ones you were mentioning a moment ago anchored in certain spots, but it's not as big of a scene here. So this is like remarkable, and the fact that you're digging so deep into this, the issues behind it, and we're meeting the faces behind these food trucks. I think that that's pretty amazing. You know, but alas, there is no shortage of examples for us when we talk with you about the value of public radio. This is just one of those examples, getting behind the scenes of this very important industry. It's all unfolding for you as usual, except today we're here to remind you how all the costs are covered in large part by listeners like you. So while we're here, while the volunteers are here, while you're thinking about it, break away from what you're up to and help us keep those examples coming for you and for the entire community. Give us a call, 454-6300, or visit our website, that's wxxi.org/give.
454-6300, 585-454-6300. If you're listening on WEOS 89.5 FM Finger Lakes Public Radio, they need your support. Really, we. I mean, I think of EOS and WXXI as linked arms. And if you're listening on WEOS, call 1-800-295-9994. I'll give it to you again. 1-800-295-9994. Or WEOS.org. So we need you, and we would love for you to become a member, especially a first-time member. Thank you, Sasha Ann Simons. Always great to see you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Evan.
We're talking food trucks, and just a pile of listener comments as well. People really love the food conversation on this program, and we love bringing it to you, by the way.
Absolutely.
Here's Lorene writing, Evan, listening to the show about food trucks. Portland, Oregon has been so successful with their food trucks. I was just there visiting last week in the downtown area in Portland, and they're on just about every corner. So she's sending essentially her love and support, saying loves that scene there, loves seeing a little bit more here. Kate says, I love the idea of Washington Square Park as a location for the food trucks in Rochester. Amy says, I had the pleasure of doing food trucks in Portland, headed to Buffalo's Food Truck Rodeo tonight, even popular at weddings. Hashtag team truck. I don't know what that means. Okay. Rick in Rochester has a question about this. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm just interested in brick and mortar property tax issues. How's the city? Because if I pay, say, especially like Park Avenue, for instance, the $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a year in property tax, and then somebody parks outside and takes all those customers, I mean, has that conversation come up? Is anybody talking about that? That's why I think the one in Charlotte, the issue down in Charlotte is, I think the business association down there is trying to keep that blocked because they're, you know, they're just saying that here's, you know, you can get a truck, and all those trucks are very expensive these days, and the people doing them have very unique and great food, and but there's, they pull up, they park, they take $400 or $500 worth of business away from, you know, a brick and mortar, and there's so much positive about food trucks, and there's so much positive, and I just think that's an issue that needs to be addressed somehow. I'd like to hear what the food truck people's ideas are as far as what that's doing, because to say that, oh, we're just bringing a bunch of business into the area is not, I don't believe that's as accurate as it seems on the surface.
Rick, thanks for the phone call. And I suspect this is not the first time the food truck operators have heard this concern about taxes. So
sure.
Let me go around the room. Lizzie, you want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, yes, food trucks may have a lower cost than brick-and-mortar restaurants, but they also have a fraction of the amount of sales. So food trucks are out a few hours a day. They serve a fraction of the amount of food the customers at brick-and-mortar restaurants have, which are open all day. Brick-and-mortar restaurants have larger menus. They have heated dining rooms. They can sell you know, alcohol, things of that nature. We also get fees. So a lot of these fees, multiple inspections, we have to pay for a truck and a commissary, kitchen. You know, we have bills that come in the mail just like a restaurant. And we have percentages taken out at all events that we do. So, you know, a little bit of apples and oranges, but I hear you, Rick. And, you know, it's an interesting idea saying, you know, we're just kind of coming in and sweeping up revenue. We're definitely paying just like every other business. And you know, it's just a kind of a different way of looking at it.
All right, before I get over to Marty for his story, the finance guy, Joe Cario. What do you say to Rick's comments there, Joe?
I completely understand where he's coming from. It's a large investment, you know, to open up a restaurant. Marty firsthand knows that, growing from a food truck to a restaurant. In my own perspective, you know, I'm glad Rick tossed out some numbers because we don't do what you see on TV. I just wanted to say that. We only do, you know, a few hundred, $400, $500. There's not like $4,000 or $5,000 going through the window at any given service. So it's not like this is extremely lucrative or we're taking food, too much food off their table, I guess. My personal view is that if we have a pot of trucks and there happens to be some restaurants in the area, we might bring in some people that they haven't seen before. And they might be open to going in their restaurant. So
it's not necessarily a zero-sum game?
Yeah, I don't see it like that. You know, speaking with Charlotte, there's so many different visitors going down there. It's not like the same people all the time. So I think that we can share the opportunity of the nice area that we have down by Charlotte. I think that, like I said, just to reiterate, we bring business to areas. We bring some other options, and I think we share that with the restaurants.
I think it's so interesting to understand every individual story because they're all different. And Marty O'Sullivan from Marty's Meats started when, Marty?
We started in August of 2012 with a food truck, Marty's Meats. We kind of specialize in, we call it globally inspired barbecue, but locally sourced ingredients. So, yeah, we had a truck for 3 years. And then May 19th of last year, I opened a storefront on Park Ave. So just to asking about tax issues with Park Ave. But so we have a storefront, 703 Park Ave. Will be a year here May 19th. So kind of have a, you know, perspective from both sides in terms of food truck operator and a restaurant owner.
All right, well, then you are ideally suited to kind of weigh in on Rick's comment there. His concern, the premise seemed to say that there might be something a little bit competitionally advantageous, unfair, in favor of food trucks when it comes to taxes. What do you think?
I really don't. I don't agree with it, to be honest with you. Like I said, I deal with it on both sides. I pay a pretty good rent on Park Avenue, you know, price per square foot. It's pretty expensive in the city. And I also pay, you know, a lot of fees for events we do with the truck. So I think there's if you looked at P&Ls of both a truck and a restaurant, you're going to have expenses associated with your business. I think what you don't want to do is start limiting business. And when government starts to play a role in who can operate and where and when and really trying to regulate, you know, an open market, I think that's where you get in more issues than if a hot dog cart comes and parks in front of my store at Park Avenue.
So is the city of Rochester still over-regulating food trucks?
No, I wouldn't say that. I just don't think that you should protect one business over another, whether it be protecting a restaurant from a mobile vendor being near there, which we've, you know, originally we dealt with trucks where that, you know, a lot of restaurants don't want a food truck near them. And taxes may be one thing, rent may be another. I think a lot of it's maybe miseducation. Having gone through 3 years of being a mobile vendor and now owning a restaurant, it's not, you know, like grass is greener on the other side. It's very difficult to operate a mobile restaurant, and it's very difficult to operate a brick-and-mortar restaurant. Both of them are hard. They just have different, you know, different challenges. And for me, and I've always said this because everyone says, oh, the city imposes this and whatnot, is that if you have a strong enough product, you have a strong enough business, you don't need to make these excuses. You don't need to find reasons why you're not doing well. And that's what sometimes it feels like to me. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on your business and how you can add value and how you can build a customer base, you know, you focus on these exterior forces where, oh, there's a food truck around the corner. We only did 30 covers at lunch because there's a food truck right around the corner. And, you know, I think it's more those businesses. In my business, we're constantly looking at ourselves and what we can do better to raise that number, you know, compared to putting the blame on exterior, you know, forces.
When you launched Marty's Meats in 2012 as a food truck, did you eventually intend to also open a storefront?
Yeah, I did. I did it as a, I would say, like a market tester, you know, basically seeing if there's a, and we would, I'd say this with my partners, is if we're going to fail, let's fail cheap with this, and that the cost of opening up a food truck is significantly less than opening up a restaurant. So let's open up this food truck. Let's see if we can run it. Let's see if people want to buy what we're selling. I think there also was a feeling that this was going to happen, become popular. Food trucks were going to become popular here in Rochester, and there weren't any, or, you know, three or four. I think when I opened, Lizzie was open, and maybe two other trucks. So this wave was going to come. We wanted to try to get ahead of it a little bit with the plan of, you know, building a brand, building a customer base, and eventually scaling it to either more mobile units or a storefront.
We had a conversation recently on this program about the remarkable journalism in the Tampa Bay Times about the local food movement and called Farm to Fable. And you mentioned that you want to be locally sourced products, which is tends to be more expensive.
Yeah.
And something that people value if they can trust you're doing it. I mean, it's hard enough to stay in business. So why did you choose to go that route, Marty?
I think, again, it's market-driven. You know, we haven't used Styrofoam in our truck in 3 years. You know, that's just something we've decided we're not going to do. We've been using all our pork is locally sourced from Bostrom Farms, which is, you know, 35 miles from here in Stanley, New York. We pay $1.20 more a pound per our pork shoulder than we would if we bought IBP, and that's a conscious decision. But we've also consciously chosen a small footprint. We've limited, we're not a full service restaurant, so we limit some cost and labor, and we've been able to, you know, redirect that in quality of ingredients. You know, we don't have a budget in our restaurant for flowers like a fine dining restaurant would have. So we can spend more of that on high quality product, which a lot of our customers are looking for. And if you're not doing it now, I think eventually you're going to have a tough time converting your business over to it because it's going to be such a sticker shock to your customers if you continue to wait and not kind of change some of these sourcing practices. So it's conscious. It's by design. We're thinking about this. We believe in that. We want to support local businesses that are people we know and like and have relationships with. So it's all kind of part of our business model.
All right. Well, I might as well ask you, if people are wondering, they haven't been to Marty's Meats, give me one item off the list, most popular seller.
Well, so I just had, these guys came in here with food, and I walked in. I said, they really undercut me here. So I had food delivered from the restaurant here. So
are you kidding?
So I made a quick call, and we got it over here pretty fast. So we have I think they brought brisket, our frisket sandwiches, which, as I said, our barbecue is
kind
of...
They're bogarting it in the sound booth back there. Don't cry, Evan.
But our barbecue is kind of what we've become known for, and I particularly like our brisket, so...
Okay, well, listen, I can't accept any of your food. But thank you for bringing it anyway. And Kat has the big smile on her face back there. Megan Mack, producer, has a big smile on her face. I want to get to more listener questions. Carl writes to the program and says, how about food trucks in the area of Elm and Cortland Streets? And a comment for council member Carolee Conklin. The council person is of the it can't work here population that has stymied innovation here in Rochester. I've been a resident of this area for 42 years, and I've heard that statement for all of those years. He's responding to, I think Carl is responding to Councilmember Conklin's comments that, well, Rochester is not Washington, that there are differences in layout and design, that we can't just look at other cities and say, let's do it just like them because there are differences. What he is hearing is, we can't do that here. Lizzie, did you feel that at all?
Yes. Let me just add to that. It doesn't matter if you live in Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, or Rochester, New York. Everyone eats. So let's figure out a way that we can make the city landscape work for the people that live here and want to eat here.
You felt some negativity from the member of council?
I do. And unfortunately, you know, we've had some one-on-one discussions. We've gone to all the council meetings. And I just think it's an old school mentality of easier to say no than figure out a way to say yes and give, you know, we're just responding to what people want. Luckily, it's in our best interest because this is our business. But we can find a way to make it work. We do how many festivals here every year in the summer? And that's quite an undertaking. So I truly believe that people, you know, deserve some variety. Let's make it happen.
Well, our engineer is actually a vegetarian. Are there any food truck options for vegetarians and vegans in Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody carries one. I have a gluten-free vegetarian poutine. Marty has a great veggie selection at Marty's on Park and
we actually have 12 of our 17 options can be vegetarian at Park Ave's, which is I don't think anyone knows that.
The cat's out of the bag.
So now, yes, that's the case.
Somebody in this city, and it's terrible how I think having a child just warps your memory. There was fun some food truck where I got a carrot slider and it was incredible.
Yeah, that was a cart. That was Dave Potwin's cart. He's no longer in business.
What was it? Let us be frank.
Let us be frank.
Right. Okay. See.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for sparking that memory. But there are what I love is the creativity.
Yes.
And we're hearing from listeners who are saying, you know, I've been to Portland, I've been to other cities, and it's so interesting to see different foods from around the world, different styles of food. That it's not just. Nothing wrong with burgers. I mean, burgers are great. Many people love burgers, but there are all kinds of different options. And that's what we're hearing. And Dennis follows up on Twitter and says, as a downtown worker, we need more food options in general. Food trucks fill that void because brick and mortars aren't. Joe, did you get a sense of we can't do it here in Carolee Conklin's comments?
Yeah, I did. I think that the city landscape was more of a fallback or more of an excuse to not go forward.
She talked about the layout, the grid.
Yeah, you know, in my personal view, I think if you want to make something happen, you can. You just put your best foot forward and work with what you got. You know, and if this is what we have to work with, you know, let's see what we have. We'll do some research on it and surveying and we'll find a safe place that's good for us and good for the community and just keep moving forward. That's the whole name of the game.
Here's Sarah on Twitter saying, regarding the council person's comment about the layout of Washington Square Park, Boston's Copley Square is comprised of 4 one-ways and has food trucks successfully right outside.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think Washington Square Park, because of the one-ways, would make it better.
Safer.
Yeah, it just... Every window would be facing right in towards the grass. People can hang out. I think it'd be a great spot for it.
Well, Mark, another email from a listener named Mark who's been to Portland and essentially said that the food truck scene there is more permanent and here it feels very mobile. Will that ever change? Good question.
Yeah, great question. Portland, Oregon, the city center anyways, they have a pod system, what's called a pod, and they are carts that are basically anchored in.
So it's called a cart, technically not a truck?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, there's some confusion in that language even here still. But they do have pod systems in their permanent locations. And it's a very interesting way of doing business here. I personally enjoy being able to take my kitchen back, clean it out, hose it down, you know, have all of those amenities. But also to be able to respond to the request. So I would love to, I think that involves some zoning as far as finding some locations or open lots. Somebody that's willing to put up a CZC and a lot that's kind of central and in a walking area to really make it work. I think it's definitely doable.
How many requests are you guys getting to show up in various places, you know, to be outside? Like I think we mentioned here, is there a truck outside right now?
One of mine is out front.
Joe's
okay,
out front.
Okay, yeah. You know, once I would say, Megan, what do you think? Once or twice a week we get an email from someone that there's a truck outside of various kinds. And so maybe you're listening and maybe you're in the same boat. You're wondering, how often are they going to show up and where? How many requests are you getting, Joe?
We get several through the website a week. But just to touch on your point a second, you said you get a couple of emails every week, you know, that there's someone out front.
Mostly it's internal. Somebody will notice and it's like it's like a brush fire.
That's huge for us.
One of the things that I'd love to see, like I mentioned before, is a schedule. We do best when we're on a schedule. So if I hit, say, State Street once a week, Elm Street once a week, Court Street once a week, we build a following. It's creating demand.
But you're not right now?
Right now we're not able to work off a schedule because it's first come, first served to these spots. Some people show up extremely early, and I have 2 little ones, and I just can't do that. So we have to work around other restrictions, too. But, I'd love to see a schedule so you get a taste of every different truck that's in Rochester. So you have a little bit of assortment. We have different people that we get to see. So I think it's,
well,
it's a
win-win. Well, isn't that for you guys to fight out amongst yourself now, or is that a city thing?
Well, the city has placed it in our doorstep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see.
Says, we're not involved in that. Here's 10 stagnant locations. They're all first come, first serve within city center. Figure it out.
So you show up. What's the earliest you'd have to show up to get a spot?
Lot of trucks are parking at 9:30.
9:30 in the morning. Okay.
The vending hours are 11 to 4, I believe. They're posted, the signage. So
okay. Yeah, depending on the location.
Marty,
yeah.
How many requests are you getting to show up?
Well, so we have one truck, but we are booked from now until the end of September for weekends. So we're totally booked for the summer, and have been for probably a couple weeks now. So, quite a bit.
And Petit Poutine's rolling. It's rolling to Buffalo right now, right?
We're rolling to Buffalo now, and we actually got our formal announcement, our second truck this week. So we now have two trucks. Yeah, we're excited about that because we do want to respond to requests, and we obviously want to grow our business and employ more people here in the Rochester area. We're looking forward to doing all of that.
About a minute left here. What's coming up? What other events? I mean, I know the Rochester Public Market has 8 more food truck rodeos. We mentioned some other towns and places for it, but what else, Lizzie?
Yeah, so the Rochester Food Truck Alliance, as we said, have 24 members, and we have 2 more events coming up really soon. So Thursday, May 19th at Churchville Chi Lai is a school fundraiser, and then we're also sponsoring a fundraiser at HFL Middle School, and that's going to be taking place on May 22nd, all of which kind of fall within that 4 to 8 p.m. Time frame. So keep an eye on the Rock FTA website. That's going to be coming up, going online next week. It's a great booking agent. You're going to be able to go through. If you want to book an event, you can click on the different trucks, gives descriptions of what they do, the food that they have, pictures, and you can email them directly by group or individually. Talk about your details.
It's the Rochester Food Truck Alliance website. What's the website?
Yeah, it's rockfta.com or rochesterfoodtruckalliance.com.
Whatever happened to Where That Food Truck?
I know. You know what? That's through the DNC, and I think they're still doing a fine job.
I see. Okay.
We're just trying to help people do their events.
So that's still a thing now?
Absolutely.
Where That Food Truck?
.com.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
Lizzie Clapp from Petit Poutine and the co-chair of the Rochester Food Truck Alliance. Thanks for getting us up to speed, and congrats on the success rolling out another one.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
And Marty O'Sullivan from Marty's Meats. You've had plenty of success. Well, you're loaded up, busy on the weekends, and congrats on not only your truck, but the physical location on Park Avenue as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Joe, Rock City Sandwich and now Wing Nuts. So you've got a lot to be excited about as well.
Very excited for the summer.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Kat Schwarz, our engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. Hope you enjoyed our first conversation in the summer of food. I'm Evan Dawson, 454-6300. We'd love to hear from you. Become a member if you support programs like Connections.